We're talking about the mysteries of the kingdom tonight. The mysteries of the kingdom. I get so excited when I find revelation in the Bible. Revelation that is something that I thought I knew, but the Holy Spirit breathes on it and it opens up understanding like I've never known before. And something about the mystery of the kingdom that has not been uncovered by many. There's been a lot, but there's still so much more room for us in the kingdom to step into the realm of the mystery of God. How many of you know we serve a mysterious God? He's so mysterious. I mean, he shrouds himself in a dark cloud. He hides. That's like weird. It's weird. But that's the mystery of God. It's so unusual. It's so unorthodox. And God himself loves to be sought out. He loves to be sought out. That's why he hides his word in parables. That's why he hides himself in mysteries. Because how many of you know that it's the treasure of man to search out? His heart is glad when he finds the treasure, but the man has to search for it. And that's what the word is. When you search for the word and you find it, the treasure's yours. It belongs to you. And when that treasure is yours, it's not just you to keep and hold on to. You give it out. That's what happens with Revelation. When we talk about mysteries, I want you to think about a mystery that needs to be solved. I don't mean to go into a super deep place, but let's take a murder mystery, for example. Let's say that you're the detective and you're the one that has to uncover and find the resolve here. You're the one that has to find the answers. You're given like two clues, and then it's your job to go out and search it out. So you take what you have, and what do you do with it? You build upon your case, right? You continue searching, you continue digging, you continue pressing in, you continue until what? You come to a resolution, you come to a conclusion. And when you build that case, you go and present it before the judge. And the little evidence that you have now becomes a whole slew of evidence. And then the judge rules in favor of the one that you're representing. Okay, I just pretended you were a lawyer, for example. And so once that mystery doesn't become a mystery anymore, what happens? Justice is given. Okay, justice is given. God's a just God and his judgment is given. And so when we talk about the mysteries of the kingdom, it's not like they've never been there. It's been there all along. But have we sought it out? It's been there all along. It's there for us to uncover. But have we been the ones to really search out and find out what is the mystery of the kingdom of God? I want to read in Matthew chapter 13. I think they have it up on the screen. So if you don't have your Bibles, it should be up there momentarily. While you're going there, I'll go ahead and just preface what was happening in the story here. The multitudes gathered as they often did in the time where Jesus was traveling. They gathered because they wanted to hear what he had to say. Doesn't mean that they were willing to receive what he said. They just wanted to hear what he wanted to say. And so they gathered and Jesus spoke to them and told them the parable of the sower. He tells them that some fell on stony places, some fell among thorns, and some fell on good ground, and he left it at that. And so the multitudes were dismissed, and the disciples pulled him aside and said, Jesus, starting at verse 10, it says, and the disciples came and said to him, why do you speak to them in parables? And he answered and said to them, because it has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. But to them, it has not been given. I want you to say this with me. Say, it has been given to me to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. Jesus just told his disciples, the ones who are following close by to him, you're the ones who are going to receive this revelation. And he says, for whoever has, meaning whoever has the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, to him more will be given, and he will have abundance. But whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. And Jesus begins to tell them a prophecy that was spoken in Isaiah, starting verse 14. It says, the prophecy was given, hearing you will hear and shall not understand, and seeing you will see and not perceive. For the hearts of this people have grown dull. Their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn, so that I should heal them. But he tells them, but blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. So what does it take in order for us to see and hear God? Well, for one, you have to know his voice. You have to learn his voice. I was getting ready to teach a class, maybe I think it was like a couple years ago, and it was on the voice of the Lord, and I was asking him, God, how do I even explain this, what your voice sounds like? And he said, my voice sounds like my word. And I said, great, so if we know your word, we know your voice, right? So we won't be deceived. If we know the word, we know his voice. The mysteries of the kingdom will often shake the foundations that people thought were solid, because it causes them to admit that what I thought I knew, I didn't know. And how comfortable are we to get there? Some of you have been in church all your life. Some of you were raised in church. You went year after year after year. And then God comes with this revelation and it questions the theology you thought you knew. Are you okay with your theology being questioned? Are you okay with God shaking the core sometimes? It's necessary in order for us to really receive and enter into the kingdom of heaven and understand the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. We say, let your kingdom come and let your will be done. Well, we know we're the kingdom of God, right? Amen? We know we're the kingdom of God. But then we say, let your will be done. What is his will? And if I were to ask this question, I feel like many of you would raise your hands here. And it's a troubling question for the body of Christ. But if I were to ask you, what is the will of God in your life? How many of you would be able to tell me what that is? What is the will of God in your life? I want you to ask yourself that right now. What is the will of God in my life? And if you don't know it, I believe tonight that God is going to speak to you. And I got to share this with you too. When I was in prayer this morning, I heard the Lord say that there's an angel here that is holding the book of your life tonight. And in that book is everything that was written about you. Everything that was written about you in that book is here tonight. So whether it's released through a prophetic word by myself or whether you receive that prophetic word directly to you, I believe that God is going to do something tonight, and he's going to cause the mentality, our mentality, to shift. You know, many people in this world, they're searching. It's the question of the ages. It's something that I think it was rated one of the top questions in the Google search engine. What is my purpose in life? And so while the world is out asking, what is my purpose in life? In the kingdom, our question is, so theirs is, what is my purpose in life? And our prayer is, Lord, let my life have purpose. Let my life have purpose. But our life has purpose when we understand the will of God. Amen? The will of God. And I want to talk to you a second about the will for the will of God. If we look at the natural will, it's something that somebody writes and writes down everything that is going to be given over, their estate, their belongings, everything is going to be given over. And in that will is listed the beneficiaries. And so once that will is given over, there's legalities that are involved, and there's it's a long process. But once the individual who issued the will passes on, those beneficiaries receive it, they sign it, and it's theirs. And so we say, God, what is your will in my life? What we're really saying is, God, let your deepest desires become a reality in my life. We're saying, God, let your longing, let the book that you wrote about me come to pass in my lifetime. Don't let me leave this earth without fulfilling your call upon my life. We're a kingdom that is advancing. You know, there's something interesting about the kingdom of God. In the Old Testament, we find that Israel set out on a mission because God told them, you're going to take the promised land, right? He said, you're going to go out and you're going to seize this land. You're going to come up against armies, but I'm going to fight for you. And so the kingdom, which was Israel, went out. And God gave them victory after victory after victory, so much so that it stunned the nations to the point where we find when Joshua met Rahab said, didn't you know that we were trembling in our boots when we heard you were coming? She said, because we know that your God fights for you. We know your God defends you, and we don't stand a chance. And where are we right now with that? How does that look like for us? Because in that time, they didn't have a natural king. And the king was the face of the kingdom. And kings in the Old Testament, they were marveled at because of all of their battles and the way they arrayed themselves and the way that they lavished their cities. These kings were so revered. But Israel didn't have a king. Well, a natural king, that is. Israel's king was Yahweh. And he was the king that could not be seen by the natural eye. And so they marveled and said, how could it be? Eventually, Israel complained enough to the point where they said, we want kings like that. And God tells Samuel, they don't want me anymore. I fought for them. I made a covenant with them. I defended them. But they don't want me anymore. So let them have their king. And so who does he raise up? First king of Israel, Saul. Saul comes into power. A man who was open but flawed. And we can read all throughout the book of Kings. We can read all throughout the book of Chronicles. Laura, you can probably hold off for just a second. And then we'll continue on. Thank you, brother. So we find throughout the book of Kings and the book of Chronicles that these kings who were raised up by God eventually fell off because they were flawed. And so Jesus comes to bring the kingdom of heaven to earth. Amen. He comes to reveal the kingdom of heaven. And he shows a new way. He established a new precept in the land and told them, this is how it was, but this is how it's going to be. And they were expecting this mighty king to come into power. They were expecting this mighty king to rise up and be the Savior and be the Messiah, but they didn't know that the king was in their midst all along. And so Jesus, he steps aside, he goes and has a seat at the right hand of the Father, and where are we at now? We're a kingdom of priests still with an invisible king, but we're still advancing. We're still moving forward. So there's a correlation from the Old Testament to the New Testament. We have the king in us. That's the mystery of the kingdom. The mystery of the kingdom is, how could it be that a kingdom of God is on the rise, but they don't have a natural king? Their king is in heaven, but he lives in each and every one of them. Now, if the king lives in us, how are we doing with advancing the kingdom of heaven? How are we doing with that? We need to know the mysteries of God. We need to know, we need to be able to perceive, we need to be able to translate that well. But what is my will? What is your will, Father, in my life? What does that look like? I want to say this again. If you've asked yourself that question before, I believe tonight God is going to give you an answer. I believe God tonight is going to do something that is going to put in motion and put in place. And maybe you've questioned yourself. You've questioned time and time again, God, can I really know your will? I don't even know what I'm called to be. I don't even know what my purpose is in life. There's time is going by, and some of you may feel like you're wasting God's time, but you have to know that when you are in God's will, you're going to hear him clearly. And I want to just say this tonight too, that I believe that God is going to just fine tune and remove every lie of the enemy that was telling you that you don't have a place in the kingdom, that you're supposed to just kind of just let time go by and eventually you'll fulfill God's plan and fulfill God's will in your life. But every single one of you in this room, youngest to oldest, has a place in the kingdom of God. You are effective for the kingdom of God. What we need is for each and every one of you to be you. Be who you've been called to be. Find out what your purpose is, because I need you. I need each and every one of you in the kingdom to advance so that we can fully move effectively. I'll share a little bit about myself in just a second, but so many times we find ourselves getting so caught up in our circumstances that we can't hear God anymore. We get ourselves so caught up that we're fighting to hear the voice of God. And there are many of you in this room that have grown numb to the presence of God, to the point where you can't feel him. You've been clawing your way in prayer, wanting to hear the voice of God. But it's become so difficult. How do I hear you, God? I can't hear you. Lord, I can't even feel your presence. We find in the book of Job that Satan goes before God and tells him, you know that guy Job right there? If you lift your hedge of protection, he's going to curse you. Everything that you did for him, he's going to throw it back in your face. And God says, okay, I'm going to lift my hedge of protection. You're not going to touch his heart because his heart is mine, but I'll lift it. And so destruction, calamity falls upon Job. His friend, his so quote-unquote friends come over, tell him, this is why this happened to you. And Job eventually is growing bitter in soul, and he has all this chaos around him to the point where he's having this full-on dialogue with God, but God's not responding. God's not responding. He can't hear God. And so continually, Job is before the Lord saying, oh, I curse the day that I was born. And he's letting all of his woes out. And finally, the voice of God calls out to Job and says, Job, where were you when I formed the foundations of this world? Where were you when I set in motion the stars? And we know this, we know that part of the chapter, right? And so what happened? God had to call out to Job in a different state of mind in order for him to hear the voice of God. He had to call out to Job in a different place, because where Job was, he couldn't hear God. And so he speaks directly to the spirit man of Job and says, Job, I'm calling out to you. You who were formed before the foundations of this world, I can't speak to you in this present tense. And so I'm speaking directly to your spirit man. And tonight, we need to allow the voice of God to penetrate us so deep to the point that what we thought we knew, we're going to have to be okay with setting that aside, because the mysteries of God are unraveling before us. The mysteries of God are here for us to uncover so that what? We can advance the kingdom of God. When we become that kingdom, when we take our rightful place as the kingdom of priests, standing before our king, we allow ourselves to be positioned for the will of God to be accomplished, not just in our lives, but in the world. Again, every single one of you have a call of God, and God is waiting for that desire to be fulfilled. He's waiting for that desire to be fulfilled. I grew up being called out. Numerous leaders in the body of Christ. I was raised in church all my life, and everywhere that I would go, they would say, "You're a prophet. You're a prophet. God's going to use you as a prophet." I didn't even know what a prophet was. And then they would come up to me and say, you're gonna sing for Jesus. You're going to lead worship. I said, "No, I am not. There's no way. There's no way." I didn't even know I could sing. And they're over here telling me this and calling this out of me. And eventually, I remember I was 15 years old in my room asking God, "What is this?" And one of the things that I struggled with for a long time was just this comparison, wondering, who am I supposed to be? I was a preacher's kid, but I still wanted to associate with friends in school. And eventually, I remember telling the Lord, "God, I'm never going to fit in, am I?" And he's like, "No. No, you're not. Let's move on." And when I finally accepted that, I remember I was 15 years old. I was sitting in bed, and the Lord literally spoke a prophetic word to me. How many of you have ever been prophesied to yourself? Have you ever prophesied to yourself before? And you're literally hearing the voice of God, and you're like, "Oh my God, this is amazing. This is so cool. Like, how could I prophesy over myself?" And I remember writing down this prophecy, and I'm looking at it. I'm like, "How is this ever going to happen? How?" And so years go by. And I finally stopped questioning how it's going to happen. I finally stopped questioning, you know, what's it going to look like? And I took what I already knew, which was God has called me to be a leader in the church, and he's called me to be a worshiper, and I stepped out on that. And I share that with you because there's many of you that have gifts and talents. There's many of you that have positions in the education system. There's many of you that have influence in governments. There's many of you that have been called to speak to leaders over nations. But the will of God is finding out what are your deepest desires. And Lord, your deepest desires, I want them to be accomplished on this earth. I want what you want. I lay down my will. I lay down what I thought I wanted. And I want what you want. We want what you want, Lord. One of the mysteries that I wanted to share with you tonight is the mystery of the ministry of angels. Angels are sent on assignment to help us advance the kingdom of God. Angels, they hearken the voice of the Lord and they carry out the will of God according to Psalm 103. And so when we're saying, "God, let your will be done," it's not just us. We partner with the angelic. They help us accomplish the will of God on earth. And the Lord showed me that there were three angels here tonight, and they are here to help bring prophetic destinies to pass. He said that there was angels here to break us through confinement, and that there were angels here to help tear down old mindsets. So three angels are in this place tonight. So what I can conclude from that, so they're here to bring to break us through confinement. They're here to break off mental strongholds, and they're the ones that oversee our prophetic destiny. They're here to ensure that helps to come to pass. And so what I can also conclude from those three reasons is that these angels are actually here to come and do combat against demons that cause delay, demons that keep people in bondage, and demons that want to abort your destiny. And so when we talk about the kingdom of heaven, it is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost, but there's so much more to the kingdom of heaven. And when we talk about, let's talk about deliverance for just a second. I'll release another mystery here. Let's talk about deliverance for a second. We hear there's so many ministries that are out in the mainstream Christian mainstream, right? There's the ministry for self-help, and there's a ministry for deliverance, and then there's a ministry for this and that and this. There's a healing ministry. There's sozo. There's this, and I think that's all great. But what we need to understand is Jesus is the center of the kingdom of heaven. And so when we as sons and daughters submit ourselves to the King, everything that flows out of us is a result of Jesus being the center. And so when the kingdom is near, deliverance happens. Didn't Jesus say, if I cast out demons by the Spirit of God, then you'll know the kingdom is upon you? And so when Jesus comes near, deliverance happens. When Jesus draws near, healings take place. When Jesus draws near, the message of salvation is released. And so there's not so much of, oh, I'm in this ministry, I'm in that ministry, I'm called here, I'm called here. I'm a son. I'm a son. You're a daughter. I'm a son. Jesus' ministry flows through me however it looks like. It could be deliverance. It could be healing. It could be salvation. At the end of the day, I'm a son who is submitted to the King, and his will is accomplished on this earth. His will is accomplished in our life. And the reason why I wanted to kind of help break this down and talk about and really just kind of press into that the concept of the will of God is because the Lord is speaking clearly right now, and he's going to continue speaking because, again, when we know our will, we take our positions in the rightful kingdom. And essentially, the battle of the ages is this. It's two kingdoms clashing. It's two kingdoms colliding, the kingdom of light and the kingdom of darkness. And when the light of the kingdom is released, the darkness is gone. It's gone. It's gone. And I believe God wants us to be so fixed on the kingdom of heaven. That's why Jesus spoke. Lamar, you can come back up. It's when Jesus continued to speak about the kingdom of heaven. He said, the kingdom of heaven is like. The kingdom of heaven is like. He described the kingdom constantly, right? And when he spoke in parables, he spoke and told them, this is what the kingdom is like. But how many of you know that the kingdom of heaven was not just meant to be described in text like that? It was meant to be manifested. The kingdom of heaven was not just meant to be described, but it was meant to be manifested through you and I, through vessels that have been submitted to the King of Kings and to the Lord of Lords. I'm talking to you in this manner because I'm tired of the enemy running rampant in our lives. I'm so sick and tired of hearing defeat after defeat after defeat. And I'm not sick and tired with any of my brothers and sisters. I'm sick and tired of the enemy having a field day in our minds when we have been called to take our rightful stand and this fear that has swept the hearts and minds of men. Do you want to know something? The Lord was showing me this spirit of fear. Let's take the spirit of fear for example, okay? This spirit of fear, iPhone users, you'll know that little emoji that he's like has like that fuzzy head. He's red and he has like little fangs and his tongue sticking out. Like it's such a random emoji, but I was looking at that and God says that's like the spirit of fear. It's so tiny. This spirit of fear is actually fear. It's fearful, and so it's so fearful that when it comes in the room, it releases fear. And it can cause everybody to come under subjection. But it's so fearful to the point because it doesn't want to get cast out. And so the spirit of fear is so full of fear that it literally wears fear on its face. And it's but when we come in the kingdom of light, When we come in the kingdom of God, come on somebody, when we come as the kingdom of God, we can step into our place. Listen, we have to know the kingdom of heaven. We have to know the power of God. Seriously, if any of you were to see the spirit of fear, you would be like, that's what tormented me for 30 years? That? Are you kidding me? I let that little bitty emoji control my life? No. No. Enough is enough, you guys. Enough is enough. 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 And I'm speaking to you as the kingdom of God because I anticipate for there to be change like this in our cities. I'm tired of this. I'm tired of this. I am expecting there for there to be change. If God can take the heart of King Nebuchadnezzar, who mocked God, who told Daniel, bow down and worship me. I built a statue. At this time, you will bow down and worship me. You won't pray to your God, but you'll eat from my table. If King Nebuchadnezzar can behold and look and see the God that Daniel serves is the true God, brought down to his lowest of lows, and even in that state, he still glorified God. Why can't we believe for God to change our soul, our justice system? Why can't we believe for God? I don't care whose feathers I rub tonight. Why can't we believe God to supernaturally come upon our governor? Why? Oh, he's a wicked man. He supports this. He supports that. He supports that. Well, why don't you take a look in the Bible and look at everything that those kings supported? And let's take a look at the kings that actually served God and the wicked things they still did. It's not about a man. It's not about a man. It's about our King who goes before us. And it's about us following so closely to the King. I want to give you a quick example of why I am such a firm believer in the body of Christ, knowing their role and knowing their place in the kingdom so that we can see a change affected. Because let me give you an example. Last year, I think it was around February or March, I was giving a message about the spirit of Pharaoh. Some of you may remember that. We weren't opened up yet. We were still live streaming. And God was having me go into the scripture, and I was breaking down when the children of Israel were leaving Egypt. It was a sign of Egypt literally means bondage. And so when the children of Israel were leaving Egypt, they were leaving bondage. They were leaving deliverance. They were getting delivered out. They were physically moving. And the Bible says that before they were going to go across the Red Sea, the Lord told Moses to stay in the land of Goshen. And the land of Goshen, when you look in the Hebrew meaning, it means approaching, drawing nigh. And the Lord was talking to me, and he said, you are in the land of Goshen right now, California. You're in the land of Goshen. Watch and see what I will do. And so I remember I released that word over the live stream, and I said, let's pray. And so I remember a lot of you were on that live stream, and we started praying. We were saying, God, we are in an approaching season. We are moving forward. We are drawing nigh. We are looking to see the salvation of the Lord, just like you told Moses, stand and see the salvation of the Lord. And 3 days later, Governor Newsom announced that he was reopening California. Don't tell me there's any coincidence in that. Don't tell me. God knows the cry of his intercessors, and he knows that when people step into the kingdom in their rightful place, that change can happen. I'm fully convinced. I'm fully convinced. The kingdom of God was not meant just to be described. It was meant to be manifested. You and I have the kingdom of God within us. He said, the kingdom is within you. Say that. Say, the kingdom is within me. Say it again. The kingdom is within me. So how do we release it? You step into your right call. You do what you've been called to do. You say, God, your deepest longing, your desires in me, let them be fulfilled so that your kingdom can advance, so that your kingdom can go forward. God, I give you my yes. God, I give you my yes. My yes is yours. I was listening to a message from Ana Mendez. I mean, when you talk about like crazy spiritual warfare revelation, like go to her. Like So she was talking about how the Lord was speaking to her about America, and she had been familiar with the angel that stands over America. How many of you know that there's an angel that's in charge and oversees America? There's an angel that's over Israel. There's an angel that's over America. And she's seen this angel numerous times, and she said that this angel's name is Liberty. The angel over America is Liberty. And so I'm listening to this. I'm like, oh, my God, that's so cool. Like, we can partner with Liberty. And the Lord says, there's another angel that's in partner with Liberty. And so I'm listening, and God is beginning to share, remind me of some things. And so Liberty is literally the angel over America, but he partners with another angel. And so God says, I start hearing in my spirit, I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with what? Who's the second angel? Mysteries of the kingdom are here for you and I. Liberty and justice partner together to oversee America. You're looking at me right now. You're like, where is that in the Bible? I hate to break it to you, but Jesus told one of the churches in the book of Revelation, he said, I'm giving you hidden manna. Hidden manna sounds like something that's never been heard before. There are mysteries in the kingdom of God that are for us right now. The reason why I know that liberty and justice to oversee America was because somebody received a revelation, and then I heard it. I heard the second part of it. So what do I do with that now? Oh God, that's so nice. Liberty and justice. All right, bye. Or do I step into the kingdom of God and say, Lord, you have positioned liberty as the overseeing angel over America. Liberty partners with justice. Your word says in Psalm 103 that the angels of the Lord, bless the Lord, O you mighty ones. Bless the Lord, you angels of God who go, who hearken to the voice of the Lord, who carry out his deeds among the earth. We call and we partner with liberty and justice right now, and we command every opposing spirit to bow down. We command every spirit that has been running rampant. And listen, when we can pray like this, we don't have to worry about the territorial demons. Listen, they're real out there. I'm telling you right now, there are territorial spirits that partner from California to Miami. There's territorial spirits that partner from California to New York. All across this globe, there's this crazy hierarchy. There's this crazy network that this demonic hierarchy operates from. But we don't have to worry about that. Why? Because the kingdom of God is here and now. The kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our God. And when we know that God has given us insight and revelation to the mysteries of the kingdom, once a secret is revealed, what happens? It's ours. That's what the scripture says. When the secrets of the Lord are revealed, they belong to us. Or what? For us to hold on to, or for us to actually take action on? I'm wondering if we have a group of sons and daughters that believe that we can see something change within the next month or two in San Jose. You all are here right now. I know you come from different cities, but I wonder if we have enough faith to believe that God can touch the mayor of this city and that something that he never thought he would do he's going to do. Is this something that I can just kind of throw out of my mind, or is this something that's being downloaded with the revelation right now? It's something that's being downloaded in revelation right now, and I prophesy right now. I don't even know how to say his last name. It's Sam, what, Licardo? Okay. I prophesy to Sam Licardo, your encounter is coming. There is a word coming directly to your heart that will cause change in the city of San Jose like never before. This man, the word of God is going out. Now, it's up to him to carry this out. But the will of God is that a new system would arise up. That a new system would rise within the land that will bring a cure to the situation with the homeless population, that will clean up our streets, that new systems that will minister to gangs and gang-related violence will be dealt with, and that partnership with the churches would come back in the community. I'm telling you, I'm hearing this as I'm speaking. I'm hearing it as I'm speaking it. So what do we do with that? Let's put it into action.